Right. We have been on this sort of journey preparation this adventure of going together, and we've been looking at two pathways of engagement with God in the realm of the spirit and in the natural realm. Pathway of relationship, which leads to a deeper intimacy with God, and the pathway of responsibility, which engages in the realms of heaven and takes us into the realms of heaven and the kingdom there to help us in rulership. 2 Corinthians 4:18, we looked at that scripture. We fix our eyes not on what is seen. Now, we know our natural eyes always fix on what is seen. So we're looking, I'm looking at you now and seeing things from my natural eyes. But we also have the ability to see things which are unseen. And there's an unseen realm around us right now. And there's also a realm of the eternal realm in heaven, which we can see and we can engage in. And God releases seer gifts, prophetic gifts, gifts to distinguish spirits and discern spirits. And we saw that that could be imparted as a seed, but we need to cultivate it. We also seen that we can engage with the angelic realm around us and the guardian angels that have been sent to guide us and protect us. And we also saw that we need to walk by faith. And last time we saw that there are some basic truths that we need to understand on this journey. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. Your spirit makes you God conscious, and you can engage with God, who is spirit. Your soul or your heart or subconscious mind makes you self-conscious and aware. And your body or earth suit makes you world conscious and aware of the world we're around. So we're going to carry on with this basic preparation today. And we're going to look at the language of the spirit and how God communicates with us and how we can communicate with him. And next time we'll look at the map of the journey that we're going to go on and on to base camp. So everyone has the ability and capacity to hear God's voice and see what he's doing. We all have physical senses, ears and eyes. We also have soul senses, our consciousness, which is conscience, imagination, reason. So our soul has ears, voice and eyes, if you like. And also our spirit has senses of eyes and ears and thoughts. And our spirit can communicate through our soul to us. Now, how do we see in the spiritual realm? It's important that we understand that. How does God communicate with us? How do we hear God's voice? How do we see what God's doing? And when I went into heaven myself and I engaged with God, one of the things he spoke to me about was the three terms. And I wasn't particularly clued up on these terms at the time because I didn't really like physics. I was a chemistry person. And the words were frequency, vibration, and resonance. And this is, those words are to do with how we engage things, and how we interact with the realm of the spirit and receive revelation from God. Light and sound are part of that. So everything seen and unseen is really energy vibrating its specific frequencies. That's just basic physics or quantum physics. So everything we see is not really solid. You know, it appears solid, but actually it's moving, vibrating, and we are able to interact with it. Now, the spiritual realms vibrate at a frequency. The known universe vibrates. Our bodies, each organ of our body vibrates at a frequency. Our DNA itself vibrates and has its song. And that's been interpreted, computer-generated, to produce the songs that DNA has. Our thoughts and emotions also have frequency. And that's really important to understand, because that's how we begin to engage with God, by tuning into those frequencies. Now, the key is to understand and how to interpret those vibrations. Resonance, when you come, bring two frequencies together and they come into a harmony, if you like, brings revelation and transformation to us. So when we draw near to God and we connect with him and are close with him, basically we begin to be transformed into his image. And therefore we begin to be transformed from what we were into what we should be and what God always intended us to be. Our consciousness, our thoughts and our emotions have frequency and therefore the ability to learn and to understand. Now, we need to understand how to use that. And we, part of this whole process is to train us into how to use the abilities that we've been given by God to engage with him and the spiritual and natural realms around us. Words, color, music have frequency, and they affect things in both the spiritual and the natural realm. Our bodies are basically designed to be a receiver of data, information, from the physical and the spiritual realms. So our body is an amplifier of frequency. Vibrations, wavelengths of electromagnetic energy, everything is interpreted in the brain as electrical signals transmitted by neurons and synapses. And I'm not going to go into the actual thing of it, but the reality is everything's interpreted, whether we see it on the outside, receive it from our spirit, or have active in our imagination, it all operates in the brain. Now, a lot of people, that has been used against them, in particularly as children, oh, it's all in your head, it's all a figment of your imagination, as a negative term. And actually, it's hindered us in engaging the truth that God created us to be. Now, some things open those things up in our lives, and we can engage in certain things, but we can learn how to do it ourselves. Physical, sound and light, soul thoughts and imagination, spiritual thoughts, revelation, intuition. There are basically three neurological areas in our body that send and receive information. It's not just the brain. In fact, the heart actually has a stronger neurological signals, and it can be measured, I think, something up to 10 to 12 feet away, whereas the brain only about 12 inches. So the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the heart, the subconscious mind, has greater thought capacity and dimension than the brain. So there is the physical brain where we have our conscious thought, the heart, the subconscious mind, the soul, but also the area of our gut. Now, Jesus said he was moved in his innermost being, or moved with compassion in his guts. And there's something that communicates to us at the center of our being that we also need to understand. And when it comes to praying in tongues, which we'll use a lot on this journey, we can actually pray in tongues in three different ways. We can speak it out loud physically, we can pray in tongues in our mind, but also our spirit and our innermost being can pray in tongues, continuously bubbling away. We'll learn how to do that. So you can receive information from the physical world, your own consciousness, your spirit, true self, the unseen realm around us. You know, right now in this room, there are things that we're not seeing with our natural eyes, and the eternal heavenly realm. Now, we have to learn how to tune in our receivers to pick up the right frequencies by training and practice. You know, we have not been taught how to do it, so we have to relearn that process. Hebrews 5:14 says, "But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil." So our senses, not just our physical senses, but our soul senses and our spiritual senses, can be trained to discern good and evil. And that practice requires exercise. Repetition that produces greater strength, abilities, and skill with use. You know, when I first began this journey myself, I found it very difficult to engage in anything other than left-brained activities, because I was trained as a scientist and I used my intellect to reason things and to logically work things out. That's how I was trained and taught through school and everything else, to use my logical, analytical elements to understand and interact with the world. But I actually learned how to engage the right side of my brain, and I learned how to engage the more creative capacities that I have in using my imagination and using things in that side to enable me to engage God and to step into the realms of heaven and to do the things that I'm able to do now. And everyone can learn to do the same things, but it requires discipline. It doesn't happen in an instant. As I said earlier, you know, I laid hands on people here to impart a seed of those abilities, but you have to cultivate and develop them yourselves. You know, you have to spend the time and discipline to train your senses, which requires repetition, doing it over and over again so you get better at it. Now, the natural eye, we know, receives light reflected from an object. It goes into the lens. It's upside down in an image on our retina, and that goes through the optic nerve as electrical signals and are interpreted by our brain. That's basic science, And we've learned to be spatially aware of the world around us because we've learned to interpret those signals. And there's a little picture there that demonstrates that. Our ear is the same thing. Our natural ear receives pressure waves from the air that vibrate in the eardrum. That is passed by bones in fluid to be interpreted again by the brain. We've learned to interpret those pressure waves as sound and language, so we can actually hear things. Again, another little picture which describes how that works. Our consciousness, our thoughts, is also a series of electrical impulses in the synapses that pass along neural pathways, and our brain interprets those signals as thoughts. So we think, we have the capacity to think and to engage in things which are not just seen on the outside. And we've learned to interpret those signals as well. And there's some pictures there of what that is, and there's a little description that says, these wonderful electrical cells process and bring to our attention everything we do, think, feel, and experience. Everything flows through those, and our brain interprets them. So the eyes of our heart, our imagination, forms directly in our mind on a screen. So we can see things in our mind's eye, it's called. You know, there's lots of little terms, but we can see things which aren't naturally just physical. The eyes of our spirit also sees things and interprets. We have to learn how to interpret what that translates. And that is where, you know, part of this process and journey will be about, is learning to interpret what our spirit is seeing, but we've never ever picked up in our brain because we were never taught to do it. In fact, children are untaught. They have the natural ability to see things in the realm of the spirit. They see angels, they engage things. We often term those things as imaginary friends sometimes. And we tell our children, oh, don't bother with that stuff because that's not real. And we immediately turn them against what God has put in them to engage with the realm of the spirit. Hebrews 4:5-14 again. We train our senses through practice to do those things. Now, God said and God saw. That's how God did things. God thought things. He had those things in his heart. He then said them and he saw what was done. So there's a strong connection between light and sound. And that's key in understanding how to hear God's voice and see what God's doing. You know, our natural senses and spiritual senses need to be working together so we can actually cooperate in a relationship with God and do what Jesus did. See what the Father was doing and then do those things on a daily basis. Now, we can be a passive or an active receiver. Sometimes God will speak to us even when we're not wanting to listen and we're just there and things happen. And probably all of us have had experiences like that. We're out of the blue. God has done something. But actually, we can be an active receiver and choose to receive by training our senses to actually do it. So we learn to be an active receiver of spiritual information as well as physical information. Now, in a natural sense, our eyesight is limited to a small bandwidth of radiation, if you like, which we call the spectrum of color. So we've got, you know, our red at one end and, you know, violet at the other end. But that's only a tiny portion of all the signals that there are. And if you look at it on the scale of the picture there, that little bit is a fraction of the massive amount of information there is out there. And that is just the information that's actually been recorded using scientific instruments. Actually, what if there is greater wavelengths and bandwidths of information in the realm of the spirit, which our spirit can connect to and interpret, that is beyond the scope of actually scientific information and data capture? And I believe there is. You know, even the sound frequencies our ears pick up are different in different animals. You know, and there are lots of animals that pick up a greater bandwidth of sound than our ears can interpret. So there are, it's possible that our spirit can interpret even sound at a greater dimension of bandwidth and use that sound in abilities. And we're going to learn how to do some of that. So our ears and our eyes have the ability to hear and see wavelengths from hertz to nanometers of light. Our spirit is capable of discerning wavelengths that are not detectable by our natural eyes. and our spirit is able to interpret and describes what it perceives. And I've learned how to tune into that. So when I use that, I can look figuratively into this room, into the realm of the spirit, and actually see what's going on in that realm. Now, I've chosen only to see certain things. I wasn't particularly interested in what the enemy was doing. And actually, the enemy isn't active here because of what we do in terms of prayer and protection and in terms of stuff. But you can see into those realms. Now, our natural eyes, the eyes of our heart and the eyes of our spirit, all use signals pass from our to our brain to distinguish those things. So we see and hear and engage in realms, other realms and dimensions. Because there are other realms and dimensions that we can't see physically, but are here and around us. There are different realms of the spirit that are around us. There are realms of heaven. There are different realms in the realms of heaven that we can learn to engage with. And we can actually learn to engage within our own soul and spirit. Because our soul and spirit are dimensional places. You know, they are like, you know, the TARDIS in Doctor Who. It's bigger on the inside than it is on the out. And so our spirit and soul have dimensions that we can engage God in. You know, Genesis 2:7 says, "The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being with the capacity to be like God, because he was made in the image of God." So our spirit is a real dimensional place, and it represents who God created us to be, and it has capacity to engage in the spiritual realms because it was designed for that. Our soul is also a dimensional place, and we can engage God there, and we can engage him in the garden of our heart, and we can engage him in different areas and areas of our soul. And again, we'll learn to do all these things on this journey. Our whole body actually vibrates at a frequency, and each of us has a different frequency. Our body is made up of 68% water, and our brain's about 80% water. Water has the capacity to transmit vibrations, sound frequencies, 4 times faster than air. So our whole body is designed to receive information. So we can receive frequencies from within and without, and those frequencies can be interpreted. Now, the ear is a very interesting organ, and it's continually vibrating. It's continually sensitive to changes in frequency, and it's literally connected by nerves to virtually every organ of the body. So our whole body is designed to transmit information. We just have to learn to interpret it. So it's an amplifier and a detector of frequency. And our spirit can become sensitive to what God is saying, and to seeing what God is doing and the enemy is doing in the dimensions around us when we learn to tune into those frequencies. Now, this room is filled with signals, sound, light frequencies that cannot be heard or seen by our natural eyes and ears. We know that because we could turn on TV and pick up TV signals. We could turn on a radio and receive radio signals. There are a whole load of other signals that are in this room, both spiritual and physical. You are giving off signals from your physical bodies. Now, I can see those signals when I choose to, because I've tuned my senses to receive them. Literally, your emotions and your thoughts are frequencies and vibrations that can be picked up by people. Now, you can do that yourself, and you probably have. You probably walked into a room and felt an atmosphere. You know, now, you did that probably involuntarily, but you did do it. So our brain can decode those signals, and we can understand the experiences. Now, it is possible to feel and sense atmospheres. How many people have felt or sensed an atmosphere? Yeah, most of you. And so you have the capacity to do it. You just never learned to actually actively direct that capacity. But God wants us to do it. Now, you know, there are things like we use. Cut the atmosphere with a knife when there's tension. You know, and there are things like that where we go to certain places and we feel a cold chill or a shiver. Or we go to certain places and we feel peace in places. Now, all those things are generally untrained, but show that we all have the capacity. But we can train those senses to see what our natural eyes can. But we have to practice to do it. Now, how God spoke to me about this when I asked him, because when I started to see the angelic realm and to start to see in the realm of the spirit, I was a little bit like, how am I doing this? Because I'm not doing it with my natural eyes. So it's not like I can look around this room and with my natural eyes tell you where all the angels are. But actually my spirit can engage in this room. And if I choose to do it, I can like send out a signal from my spirit, like spiritual radar or sonar, and then pick up what the information comes back. You know, and it's like that's how it works for me. Some people may be able to see it physically or see it in their imagination. It works for me as a description of what is here that my spirit communicates to my mind. And so my spirit sends out information, receives information back, and then interprets that information as a description which I can describe to you. So I can choose to do that now and describe where the angels are in the room, because there are lots of angels that I can see. But I'm not seeing them with my natural eyes. And the problem is we use language like see, and it means, well, I see. But actually the real word means to perceive or to understand. So I can perceive things that are here, not through physical senses, but through spiritual ones. Now, we can all learn to do that. Now, when you learn to do it, it gives you obviously a heads-up advantage on what's going on. You know, because you can tell whether there are things going on with people. See, I can see the colors that are coming off you right now. I can't see them with my natural eyes, but I can see those that are glowing with red and orange, those who are more cool colors that are coming off, just because I've trained my senses to do it. Now, I believe anybody can do that, but it takes some practice. It's taken me a while to get here, you know, and I have a journey that I've been on. But we can all learn how to do that. Now, in the past, people have used those abilities to minister to people. There's a guy called William Branham who did many miracles. He had an angel that ministered with him. And when he touched people's hands, he sensed the vibrations of sickness that were coming off them. And he knew absolutely pinpoint accurately what the person's illnesses were. And he had an amazing healing ministry because God used him and used that sense or ability to bring healing and wholeness to people. Now, we can learn to do that also. Now, when it comes to seeing and hearing, the Hebrew understanding of seeing and hearing is not Greek. Greek and Hebrew, we know, are totally different ends of the scale. The Hebrew understanding means all our senses. So when we read about seeing and hearing in the Bible, in the Old Testament particularly, it means an encounter or an experience which is connected with all the sensations, our ears, eyes, mouth, tongue, all of them, you know. And also, in our brains, they have different wavelengths of activity. So when I'm operating now, my wavelength is operating with beta waves. And that operates at a faster activity to operate intellectually, and so I can choose to do certain things. When I close my eyes, actually, it triggers into alpha waves, which are slower and pick up spiritual signals better. That's why it's easier sometimes to see things when we close our eyes and block out all the information around us so we can tune into those things that are coming from a spiritual source. And that's when the screen of our imagination often gets activated. Now, Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So what that is actually saying is God made stuff out of stuff that we can't see. That's actual substance he made it out of was the energy that was contained within his conscious heart. And when he spoke those things that were in his heart out, they actually formed into what we can see. Energy becomes matter. So God created everything using thoughts, words, and he holds it all together in the same way. His observation of things actually holds the whole universe together. Now that is quantum physics 101. Simple. in a sense. But it's basic scientific things. Everything exists because it's being observed, and it's God who's doing the observation. You know, the word says he holds all things together by the word of his power. And so he is able to do all that. So our imagination, using meditation, which is the biblical word for engaging God in thought and meditative study, and there's lots of things, and we'll look at that again, are the doorways to experience true reality. And if, you know, my favorite film is The Matrix, and in that, it's like what was looked like reality wasn't reality. So what we're seeing in this natural realm, some scientists say is almost like a holographic projection of something else. Now, I believe that the spiritual realm was created first, and this natural realm has come from that spiritual realm and is held together by it. And we can engage in both and learn to use those doorways to step in and out of the different realms of the spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him?" And it's like, that's like, well, who's known God's mind? Then it goes on to say, but we have the mind of Christ. So we have the capacity to engage with the mind of God and to know him and his thoughts and his heart and his will and his purpose. But we have to learn how to tune into it. Ephesians 1:18, Paul was praying and he said this, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened or opened, that you may know." He prayed that because it's so important that we learn how to open the eyes of our heart, our imagination. Imagination is more important than knowledge, for knowledge is limited to all we now know and understand, while imagination embraces the entire world and all that there ever will be to know and understand. Now, I wonder who said that. Einstein. Because Einstein, who was probably one of the greatest creative brains, actually didn't do it by intellectual process. He learned how to engage the thoughts of God. Another thing he said, "The intuitive mind is a sacred gift. The rational mind is a faithful servant. We have created a society that honors the servant and has forgotten the gift." That's what we have to turn around, to re-engage with that sacred gift, the intuitive mind, the imagination that God's given us. Again, this is a picture of Einstein riding on a bike, a famous picture. It says, "Logic will get you from A to B, imagination will take you everywhere." God wants us to engage in everywhere, but we have to learn how to do it. Einstein said imagination was greater than knowledge. Imagination is the gateway of possibility, the gateway of being able to engage with the things that we can't see but are there for God in us. You know, remember in Ephesians 1, it says every spiritual blessing is available in the, where? Heavenly realms. So we have to learn how to engage that. Imagination is the beginning of substance, the DNA of creative power. It is the window of the soul to unseen possibilities, the catalyst for growth, the defining characteristic of a childlike heart. Now, who did Jesus say would engage in the kingdom? Little children. You know, little children receive things by faith. With a childlike heart, their imaginations are active. So we must learn to release the power of being made in the image of God. We need to learn to activate the creative power of our imaginations. When your memories are greater than your dreams, you're already dying. Now think about that. Because we're supposed to be moving on into a future and into eternity. Therefore, we need to embrace that eternity now and to learn to engage the possibilities that are there. I've done some amazing things in the realm of the spirit and into the natural realm, out into the galaxies that I never knew were possible until I activated some of these things. It's my destiny. It's all our destinies to be like Jesus, to be creative and to release his creative power, both in the natural realm and in the realm of the spirit. God communicates through a spontaneous flow of something. a flow of thoughts, a flow of pictures, a flow of different things from our spirit to our soul. When we relax, blood flows more to the right hemisphere of our brain, and therefore a relaxed person can more readily access right brain functions. That's why it's easier to meditate when we're relaxed. It's easier to engage with God when we're relaxed. When we're tense and we're trying hard, it's hard to do it. But when we're relaxed, like, be still and know that I'm God, that's when it works more easily. So when we seek God, divine revelation flows through from the soul to the spirit through our conscious understanding. That's how it all works. God's language, a flow of thoughts, pictures, words, impressions, perception, received, interpreted in our brains on the screen of our imagination. Visions is an example of spirit-to-brain communication, pictures on the imagination. That small, still voice that we hear on the inside, not in our mind, but it's communicated to our mind, is another example of spirit-to-brain communication. Intuition in our emotions is another one. Seeing is tuning in to that spiritual frequency and communicating so that we have understanding. Practice to do it. Now, I want to finish just with this. The gift of tongues is another example of spirit-to-brain communication. And using the gift of tongues is a really, really important key in building our spirit and developing these gifts and capacities. Because tongues edifies us. It's the language of the spirit, your spiritual language, and how you can speak and communicate with God. It says in the Bible it's the language of men and angels, so there are different tongues. And as a gift, we can receive it. And God wants all of us to receive it. It is key when it comes to exercises that build the spirit. So when you ask God to show you something, expect that he'll show you something. And when you practice these things, just ask him to show you a picture. Close your eyes and imagine that he's going to show you something. Ask him to. But when you do, ask him to show you what it means. Because so often we see things that we don't understand what they are. So with having revelation of something, we need interpretation of what it means. And then actually on the third thing we need is an application. Ask God also to show us how to respond to what he's showing us. Because what we don't want to do is have a whole load of pictures and stuff in our imagination that we never really understand. So when we engage God in these things, ask him to help us to receive it. And I want to encourage you just to briefly do that right now. So I ask you just to start, close your eyes, and just think of an object. Could be your front door, could be your garden, could be anything. Just think of an object and start thinking about that object and allow that object to form in your imagination. Just picture it. Because we have to learn to activate our imagination when we choose. So just actually activate your own imagination by picturing something you think about. Now, what I want you to do now, having done that, is to think about Jesus. Think about Jesus as our shepherd. And use Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And just think about and picture you lying down in a green pasture with Jesus sat down beside you. Think about it. Sense what it feels like to be sat down, lying down beside Jesus. Now ask Jesus, while you're there in this picture, in your imagination, to speak to you, show you something, communicate to you. Now, you may be receiving this as a picture in your imagination. You may be receiving it as a series of thoughts or impressions in your mind. You may just get feelings or senses in your emotions. But remember, your imagination is the doorway to spiritual reality. So just allow your whole being to engage with the presence of Jesus, sense his love for you, so you can engage that in your feelings and your emotions. Now, if he's spoken to you about something or shown you something, ask him to interpret that. What does it mean for you? And also, how should you respond? What do you need to do as a result of you engaging or encountering Jesus? Because an encounter with the presence of God should always bring about transformation or revelation or direction in some way. You know, the truth is that God wants us to experience him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to be like him. And we need to learn how to do it. So my encouragement in these things is just to continue to practice. A lot of you are much further on and more advanced in this stuff, but we're starting from the beginning so everybody can catch up. And we can all engage and learn how to experience the realms of the Spirit and to fulfill our full destiny. Everything that God's called us to do, both in this realm and in the realm of eternity. And we do that very simply by learning to engage with God. So my encouragement would be, practice this at home, in your times with God yourself. Don't just, I'm talking to God and it's like I'm talking to the ceiling. Actually, picture yourself speaking to God. And you'll find it becomes more real. Because he really is real. It's not a figment of our imagination. It's our imagination connecting with a different realm. And experiencing it practically. Okay. I'd encourage anybody who's not speaking in tongues to ask someone to pray with them today to release that gift, because it is a really important gift going forward in engaging the realms of the Spirit. So if you're not speaking in tongues and you want that gift, ask one of the ministry team to pray with you after the meeting so that you can engage that gift, because it does really, really help.